Hello and welcome. You're listening to Queer Quirks on UMFM 101.5, which broadcasts from the University of Manitoba, located on Treaty 1 territory, the lands of the Anishinaabeg, Nehiyawak, Oji-Cree, Dakota, and Dene peoples, and the homeland of the Métis Nation. Now let's take a moment here to acknowledge that land acknowledgements do nothing to return that land to its rightful owners or to pursue justice on the basis of the past history of exploitation and degradation of Indigenous peoples within Canada. So if you haven't already and you can afford to, I strongly suggest that you make a recurring contribution to an Indigenous organization to make a concrete financial action towards pursuing the justice that should be our goal instead of acknowledgement. This is Queer Quirks, a queer talk and music show which examines news, history, culture, and current events through a queer lens. I'm your host, Lee Fraser, they, them, and I'm a PhD candidate in sociology at the University of Manitoba. But more importantly for the show, I have a long history of queerness and of advocacy and volunteerism in the queer community. The goals of the show are to showcase artists and creators who are part of minoritized genders and or sexualities, often referred to with initialisms like 2SLGBTQIA+. And I also discuss how events around the world affect queer communities because of how the world treats people who are minoritized genders and sexualities. Often this topic includes mistreatment and violence. I do my best to provide trigger warnings, and please let me know at queerquirks@gmail.com if you feel there's anything I'm missing. I also try to be balanced in my discussion of different groups, particularly if I'm not a member of that group. So wherever possible, I will direct you to further resources and readings or highlight people who are doing work from that perspective that I cannot provide with nuance and genuine understanding. I try to keep the show accessible, which means I rely on publicly accessible work where I can, and where I can't or where I want to highlight something that is not publicly accessible, I will work to provide interpretations and discussion to make it useful to people who have not pursued the particular career that I have. This last is very important because if you are someone who is, for example, bisexual, lesbian, trans, non-binary, if you are anyone who is a part of the groups that I talk about on this show, I believe that you're entitled to work that talks about your life experiences, and you're entitled to it in a form that's useful to you. So, if there is anything that I'm missing or anything that you want to comment on, I strongly encourage you to get in touch because I am always happy to hear about ways that I can understand the world better or work to make the show and what I do more useful and in some cases more entertaining. So today I want to play some wonderful music that has been really the focus of one of the many deep dives that I go on YouTube to look at more queer content, or just in general when YouTube uses its algorithm to recognize pretty much universally that my tastes are very queer music. I'm not exclusively listening to queer music, but I do listen to a lot for the show, and I like to listen to a lot of queer artists, so that's something that's important to me, and it leads to occasionally suggestions that link me to other artists, and it's really fun. So I want to play a song by Grace Gousted, and this is Red.
I was told that I wasn't to say anything unless I was asked about it secretly. That I should keep anything I'm feeling inside buried extra deep. Hold up, you're the one I love, and I don't wanna give it up. So let the world think bad things and call me bad names. Teach me how to run away.
Rainbow in the sky.
So that was Grace Gusted. I hope I'm saying her name right. With Red off of her album Black Box. And it's a song that has really wonderful lyrics and it has a really beautiful sound. And honestly, a lot of the commenters really picked up and enjoy the commentary of I can be the way God made me because she doesn't make mistakes. And for many people who have an investment in being created by a God or something like that, those are really comforting words and comforting reminders that there's just a lot of differences in people and ways that we express ourselves in the world. And if you do believe that you were created by a God or creator and that they are someone who created things in a perfect sense, then you are perfect the way that you were made. And I think of that in just the variety and the absolute pleasure it is to find and experience different people. So not being a religious person, for me, I think everyone is wonderful and interesting the way that they're made just because maybe this is something that is personal to me, but I get very excited by discovering new things and new people and new ways of being, and the way that different people view the world or themselves have really shifted my thinking in a number of cases. So to me, that's something that's incredibly magical and interesting and valuable about people being out there who can experience things so differently. And I don't see why that would ever be a problem or something that is wrong. The wrongness I see in the world is people trying to very aggressively impose one way of thinking or a very simplistic ideology on things. So definitely spend some time with Grace's music if you are someone who is looking for new songs to listen to. And I think that there's lots of new artists, and in particular younger artists, for whom I haven't played a lot on the show, and it helps me to discover them as soon as I start to put them into my algorithms and have music suggested to me. But certainly if you know someone that you'd love to see played, then I would really love to have it suggested to me so that I can explore their work and so that I can make sure that that exposes me then to other people with similar sounds. It's very fun. So I want to play you another song that is, I think, really important in the same kind of way. It's something that a lot of people find incredibly relatable, in terms of the poetic nature of the lyrics. So this is by Holly Call, and Holly Call is an Australian artist who's extremely cool and whose music kept popping up on my feed after I, was looking at, I guess, artists who played in similar venues or things like that. And also partly, I think, because there's really beautiful music videos, and there's often people who make fan videos or have a strong relationship to the music. And that is one thing that I think the queer community, as well as other communities, are incredibly interesting and powerful in doing, because it can help us relate to shows and visual art and things that we see. But also when people take a song and put it to different iterations of characters and things on screen, it shows so much attention and reading into what the artist did and what they mean. So that's something that's pretty incredible. And if you are someone who's creating music, I imagine it's a huge compliment. So if you, like me, find some of the music that you like from things like TV shows or books or characters that you relate to, then one of the things that I think is a beautiful free art form is when people put out fan videos. And in particular, when I was younger, I came towards my queer identity partly from having to look for queer content very closely from shows because there's very little of it. But one of the things I was immensely grateful for were all the other people out there on the internet, which was relatively new in my teenage years, and people who would put together fan videos and fan cuts of shows and pick out the queer media so that you didn't have to, sift through hours and hours to find those little pieces of representation that were really important to you. And for me, they were incredibly valuable. And some of the music that I still find most memorable to me and most powerful is music that people put to the expression of a relationship between characters. And often because queer characters are portrayed in a way that they're not allowed to be where they are, or they have to be secretive, which is unfortunate in some ways. And I've talked about that in other occasions on the show, because that's not the only way we should be shown. But in a historical sense, that is a lot of times what we see for our representation. And so I think that those characterizations and those relationships lend themselves particularly well to the strong emotions of poetry and music, because often there is a repression of emotion and some exploding of it, or expression or longing that exists, some very, very powerful emotions that people are not allowed to express or feel. And we know from the popularity of characters like Romeo and Juliet that straight folks also have a powerful connection to characters who, you know, quote unquote, can't be together in some way. So some sort of strong emotion, and maybe being able to feel it or being more closely in touch with it because you are not allowed to express it, or because something seems to be in the way of you being together. So naturally, that is something where I think the queer community has a lot of relationship to. And then there's also an immense joy in being able and having that freedom to be together. And that's something that also the queer community relates very strongly to, is I think that there's more value and joy that we can feel in being able to have those first open steps of a relationship, because in a lot of ways it might have seemed impossible to us for so long. So getting to do things that people might see as relatively ordinary but still imbued with that sort of new relationship energy and that intensity and feeling can be particularly powerful for us. And I think that that's something really interesting. Just to go back to the song I already played with Grace Gustad, who talked about releasing the video for the music I just played, Red. And this is the first time that she had talked about or come out about being someone who could fall in love with women, who identifies as sexually fluid. And so she said that she was actually nervous about posting the video where she kisses the love interest that she has in the video. And she was going back and forth and scared to post the thumbnail that held that kiss, even though it was the most beautiful moment in the video. And it's really nice to see someone still talking about that and the difficulties they might feel, because regardless of how much people see queer acceptance as having come a long way, the reality is that for people like recording artists, the entertainment industry, people who make their money off of popularity across a wide group of people, heterosexuals make up most of that. And often, especially if you're someone who is relatively quote-unquote straight presenting, by which I mean that this is a person who is very like thin and white and traditionally attractive, and somebody that often heteronormative culture is quicker to claim as their own. This is something that can make people feel like, oh, you're making a stand and you're far outside of our group and things like that. And so it becomes a big deal, even though it shouldn't have to be, because it's literally just, this is another thing that I'm interested in. This is another thing that I do. This is another person that I might love. All of those things. This first example doesn't really apply what I mean, because it's more than that. It's not a thing that you do. It's just like what I'm trying to convey there is that it's not necessarily should be enormous and change the way that the world sees you. But in many cases, for people, especially in the entertainment industry or for whose demographic, there might be disproportionately people who are bigoted towards groups like that, it can be a risky move still. And so I do enjoy that Grace talked about how scared she still was about sharing this part of herself. And I think that that corresponds really well with the music video, and in the sense that they explored how scary it is to have that visible step in the relationship. So in the music video, she is falling in love with another girl and clearly exploring that attraction.
and is very aware of it, but what we see very distinctly is concern about how it's seen. And so because these are young girls and they're, you know, teens in a mall or whatever they're doing, they are people for whom how other people see them and their relationships can impact their world in an enormous way, because they don't yet have a workplace to occupy them, and other life pursuits to occupy them, or maybe a home of their own to maintain. So a lot more of your life is connected to this subset of social relationships at, say, your high school or people like that, and people that you see every day who are also your social group. And that's not necessarily the case for people who are adults or further along in their careers. You know, you might go to work and work with a certain set of people and they don't know about or care about your relationships, and then you come home and you might interact with your friends there. So you do end up with a kind of a diversified network, hopefully, ideally, under circumstances where you might have like a healthy form of support in different areas. So you have more areas to depend on and to go to if people's opinions or reflections on you are being expressed in negative ways. So I think it's really powerful still to remember and have represented that it is scary to do that, and it still can affect the way that people see you. And so in the video for Red, Grace is kissing a girl in the mall for the first time publicly, and classmates who had previously been shown, obviously, like kind of judging them and looking at them askance for being together and maybe romantically interested in each other, take a picture of that. And that is a very invasive thing too that often queer folks deal with that other people don't. So there have been in the past in the US, for example, cases where a young person, so trigger warning here for harm and mention of suicide, but where a college student has taken a video secretly of his roommate who happened to be attracted to men, and we don't, as far as I know their his specific orientation, but he took secret video and streamed it online of his roommate hooking up with another man, and that roommate subsequently died by suicide because it's intensely personal too to be intimate with someone in any way, and so that would have been a horribly offensive behavior even towards someone for whom it didn't convey something about a minoritized sexuality. So if he had been hooking up with a girl and it had been streamed online, there would have still been a lot of intimate and vulnerable moments that people could have mistreated and mocked, and that really shouldn't be seen outside of that context because that is a moment that is meant to be private. But of course, by this outing in a very public way through a very intimate messaging, the humiliation and intense scrutiny that this person came under contributed to them dying by suicide. And I think is a reminder that even, no matter who you are, that there is the potential for parts of you to be exposed in a way that you would find embarrassing or humiliating. There's moments that you don't want under scrutiny. And in a lot of ways, relationships are where we show our vulnerability, where we have our intimate moments, where we are supposed to be able to let go and stop caring a bit about how we're seen, and relax and enjoy being loved by another person. And so to have that scrutinized can be incredibly harmful. And so, of course, people who are queer, especially when they're young and everyone is sort of interested in each other's relationship and imposing their views and opinions on it in a way that we don't necessarily see as we get older, or we might have more ways to get away from, it is scary to be somebody who is a minoritized sexuality, because it means that people will watch and whisper and use you as a topic of conversation and of gossip in a lot of ways. And that is something that puts immense pressure on early relationships to be successful or to not start at all or things like that. So just there's more hanging on early relationships or things that might make you vulnerable in certain ways sometimes too. So also, I've talked on the show before about how secretiveness can be something that contributes to abuse or problems in queer relationships, because if you are afraid to show your relationship in public, you also, if you're not being open about that relationship, would likely be much more reluctant to talk to anyone about abuses that might be happening, and the signs that something is happening might not be there if you're being secretive about the relationship in general. So a lot of that was conveyed in a really interesting, lovely way in this video. And I really appreciated that Grace, as the artist, did talk about how she still felt afraid. And she talks as well about how she listened to music growing up that had messages that favored queer communities and how important that could be. And so she has some really beautiful ways of talking about the things that I've just mentioned. So to quote her here, quote, "I feel deeply for the artists who have had to choose between being authentically themselves and withholding part of their truth for opportunity," end quote. So she really does talk about how there's two sides to that, which I appreciate as well. This is a very nuanced view for someone who is still fairly young and fairly new in her career. And I can appreciate that she faced making that choice and has felt essentially that she either has to hide that part of who she is to continue having access to that kind of larger market who might not spare attention for her if she shows herself to be different from them in some way. And also the fact that, of course, people who have been open about and honored their sexuality have played a significant role in people, in the lives of people like her. And so this reflects in a more personal sense, because it comes from her personal kind of open letter about things. But it reflects as well what I've talked about before, which is that while I do think it does something powerful to have more and more out celebrities, people in the public eye in some way, people in positions of power, to point to as, for one thing, examples that you can be successful in the world, that you can be somebody who is professionally successful, as well as being a minoritized gender or minoritized sexuality or both. And it can also show parents and relatives and people who are not part of the community and help their acceptance to show them that there are people in positions that they might see as valuable who identify as part of your community. It can be really incredible and important to see yourself reflected out there in some way. However, of course, people who are in the public eye or under particular scrutiny in their private lives in some way do face the world differently in terms of if the world is aware of something like a minoritized gender or sexuality. And so I cannot fault anyone for making a very, very personal decision in whatever way favors what they need to do. And it is a good reminder as well to us that we are not entitled to that information about anyone's identity. However, I think that Grace highlights something really valuable in this open letter, which I'll also post in the show notes, which is that if you are somebody who is out there in entertainment and things like that, she doesn't state it this way, but where I see it coming from is heteronormativity. So essentially, unless you make the move to embrace your identity openly in some way and control that narrative, in some ways, I guess you risk being that part of your identity being discovered and disclosed in a way that you don't agree to. But you are kind of put in hiding because of the assumptions that come your way. So that's what I was talking about with heteronormativity, is that unless you do something to come out, you are in some ways actively or passively hiding. And I don't think you can ever entirely passively hide, because the assumptions around heteronormativity and the way that people talk about minoritized genders and sexualities as if the people around them couldn't possibly be one of those is something that sort of requires you to contribute to your own erasure or actively hide or deny your identity in some way. So I love this open letter, and I love people talking about these issues, and I love people talking about what it meant to them to have the experience of coming out, or the choice of coming out, or why they did things, or how they feel about that part of their identity. So it's also gorgeous to get to see different people's interpretation of what it means to be who they are in the world in that way. And so every time we get to see someone who is a auditory and visual artist express that experience on the screen, it can capture for me, and maybe for other people, things that we don't know how to say in words. Like I am not a poet, I am not an artist in any visual medium, I can't make videos that express this feeling in this way, this kind of scrutiny that those relationships go through, but this is something where maybe another person will be able to share this to convey that they feel that way. And that's something that I think is really valuable too, every time an artist contributes something to the world. So I've mentioned that with wonderful writers like Ivan Coyote that I relate to strongly before, in the sense that their works, for example, their books are something that I can help share. If I share one of their essays or one of their books, to say, this is something that can help you understand me in some way, without me having to have the ability to write that kind of book, which I can't. So bringing it back to Holly Call, who I wanted to talk about as well, I want to play the song Let Yourself Down. So here that is for you. Holly Call with another really wonderful song about sort of acceptance or being yourself openly. The music video follows someone sort of in an unhappy relationship, and what other people have interpreted the lyrics to mean and what I think they really cover really well is not not staying in a relationship that you're not happy in. And in this sense, too, sometimes people are loath to leave relationships that might validate their feeling that they can still be quote-unquote normal or heterosexual. I know for myself, in terms of early on dating men, that it did make me feel like I was fulfilling what people wanted me to do, even though the relationship itself might not have been a good thing. And so I don't know why, but that can help calm yourself if you are frightened by exploring a part of who you are or accepting that you are part of an identity group that people abuse. And so that's something that I think also, though, speaks to all sorts of relationships, because if you are not happy, if you're not 100% in a relationship, you are letting yourself down if you stay in it. Or saying things in another way, things don't have to be wrong to not be right. So if it is not feeling right, there doesn't have to be a huge wrongness as a reason to leave it. A relationship should enhance your life. And this isn't to say that relationships don't take work or that you shouldn't, invest yourself in finding out what might be wrong in a relationship that you do want to work on. But if you have that continuous feeling that something is not right, or in the case of exploring your identity, maybe you're recognizing that this person is part of a group that you are not attracted to, or that you are in this relationship as part of something that you think you should be doing in any sort of way, rather than because it is something that makes you happy and that's right for you. It is wonderful to have music that that plays on that and talks about that. So, and it's a lovely song, a lovely video, and Holly Cole is just like a wonderful artist and very interesting. And so we have an interview on Re website with Holly Cole, and I will post it in the show notes as well to kind of hear a little bit about her life and how she talks about how few people who are queer are writing songs or creating songs. So she says that as well, quote here, "I'm extremely conscious of these barriers and I'm aware they're magnified by my choice to be so open in my self-expression and self-identity. But I know that by being visible and pushing through them, I can change the narrative, the norm, and be the representation that I needed growing up," end quote. So that quote, I think, is very important because it highlights the fact that, like Grace and other musicians that I've talked about before, she's aware that being out about her sexuality is something that can change her opportunities. So she's aware in this sense that previous to that quote, she had mentioned in the same paragraph that women make up a very small percentage of artists and a smaller percentage of songwriters. And then, of course, an even smaller percentage of those roles are performed by people who are part of the 2SLGBTQI initialism in some way. So it is something that makes it harder potentially for her to get work and write. And so she's aware, I think, from that quote, how I interpreted it, is she's aware that as a woman, she already would have had trouble being the person who is successful in the industry, who writes the songs. There's already a very small amount of women out there doing that. And by coming out as queer and being so open about that part of her identity, she has more barriers in her way because she's openly identifying herself as part of a community that people tend to minimize, dismiss, ignore, or provide barriers to success. So that is something that I think speaks to that powerful choice of coming out and what it can mean for different people when, again, we should get to a point in the world where it means very little, where it's a very small part of life. But I am hopeful that we'll get there. And in the meantime, people who make this type of music are contributing to potentially having it easier for other people down the road, as Holly Cole mentions in that quote. So I'll post that interview in the show notes. And I have another song that I want to play. And this song is Kitchen Light by Zanna.
She got got in my car, said take me home. Pulled up to her house, but that's not what she wants, so I bring her to mine. We stumble inside, we didn't even make it past the kitchen light. You could break my heart, I know that you try, but I'm boots in my bed when it's raining outside. Kept my window open since our last encounter. Can't stop thinking about how we fucked in the shower. You're blushing your cheeks, and I'm falling for it, cause everything sweet comes with the warning. I'll keep you close, but don't tell my mother we sleep without clothes.
Fabulous musician and a Canadian one this time. And so Zana is a really interesting, powerful musician and somebody who grew up in Vancouver. And so, you know, we can relate a lot to some of the experiences that she might have. And I think that that's always valuable in terms of some of the emotions and some of the songs that we get come a lot from American artists and whether or not artists incorporate it in their music. I always appreciate kind of the the closer background of Canadian artists, sometimes seeing in their work or in their videos and things like that, that they might reflect, you know, slightly different experiences and places and feelings. And that's because, you know, they come from a different environment. And certainly there's a lot of differences between us and our neighbors in the U.S., so sometimes we don't see that highlighted sufficiently. So, to continue kind of the theme of queer discovery, I do want to play a song by the Veronicas, and that's partly because this song is something I listened to a lot growing up and I found really powerful, but also because until recently I didn't know that one of the members of the Veronicas is somebody who isn't straight, and that's really always exciting for me because, of course, it's rare still to have musicians in the public eye who are people of a minoritized sexuality, and so it's also wonderful for me to discover that in artists who I listened to growing up. I've had reverse discoveries where I've, you know, found out some of the artists that were part of the playlists I loved growing up are, you know, homophobic or terrible in other ways. And so it's always a really nice positive to find out that, you know, there are people who formed an integral part of my development who have queerness in them. And so Jess Orgliasso of the Veronicas identifies as queer and sexually fluid. And that's something that I think is really nice. For me personally, and for a lot of people who grew up listening to that music, I don't know in specifics when Jess shared that publicly with the world, and I don't really want to, in the sense that I don't want to look into coming out as being the integral or most important part of that identity. But it's really fun, and also because Untouched by the Veronicas, which is what I'm going to play here, is a song that was shared with me as part of playlists by my first girlfriend, so they have a very gay vibe to them in my personal sense of listening and songs that I associate with memories. And so a lot of the songs that I personally consider to be evocative with queerness for me, to resonate with that part of my identity, aren't even necessarily by queer artists. And there are much more artists who are out, and there's a lot more discussion and available interviews and stuff now too. Like, just the proliferation of media means that there's much more information either about artists who might have been members of the community but I didn't know that when I was younger, or members who have identified themselves or recognized that part of themselves later on, or simply that there's lots more musicians, there's lots more music being made, and there's a number of those are from queer folks. But there's so much variety that I really love about listening to music now, and being able to find things that match different parts of my identity. And in part, I think I'm drawn to queer music that explicitly has lyrics that perform a kind of poetry. Like, there's obviously great dance music, and there's lots of things created by queer folks that are awesome, and by non-queer folks that are awesome. But in music where you really listen to the lyrics and something that you might listen to over and over, or that has that soothing quality, or that talks about relationships with other people, I really value having that music that is done by queer musicians, simply because that is something that, if it is done by straight musicians, sometimes harps so much on that boy-girl attraction and heterosexuality. There are songs that I think that you can relate to as someone who is not queer, that just speak to, you know, universal themes of relationships. But sometimes the boy-girl relation is heavily clear in the song, and it's just nice to have music that can reflect us in some way, and that maybe doesn't have that kind of jarring note of presumed heterosexuality. So that's something that is always going to be valuable to me about music that is made by queer folks, or by people who explore music and connection and that poetry of connecting to other people in relationships in a way that's less heteronormative. So here is Untouched by the Veronicas.
Thank you.
watch you. See you breathe, you don't want to be you. La 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 la, la 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 la. You can take, 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 take time, time to live, live the way you gotta, gotta live your life. Give me, give me, give me all of you. You don't be scared, I'll see you through the lonely nights and wanting more, more, more. Don't even think about what's right or wrong or wrong or right. Cause in the end, it's only you and me, and no one else is gonna be around to answer all the questions left behind in you and how you're meant to be. So even if the world falls down today, you still got me to hold you up.
Untouched by the Veronicas, a song that's a real throwback for me to when I was younger and dances and basement parties and things like that. So that's something really fun to get to see and recognize in the context of having a queer woman there. And I want to make sure to mention too that there's, of course, people for whom when they date people who are non-binary or women with just being a woman, then their queer identity is more recognized, but Jess Orgliasso has said basically that she falls for people and not their bodies. And so while she has dated a variety of other people, I hope that anyone who is looking that part of her identity will recognize that it is still part of her identity. So often when we look at people who date a variety of genders, when they are dating people, who are non-binary or who are the same gender as them, we see their queerness there. And then when they are dating, or if they end up dating and marrying or being in a very long-term relationship with someone of the quote-unquote opposite gender, so a relationship that appears heterosexual, if you don't know about their sexuality, often people will dismiss or not talk about their queerness. And it bothers me in ways that I don't totally know how to put into words either. So when you see articles that talk about someone who is bi, for example, that's not how Jess Orgliasso identifies, but I'm just thinking in general of a lot of people who date multiple genders and how they are portrayed in the media. So when you see, for example, someone who is bisexual out and about dating, then you often we'll see their bisexual identity mentioned lots if there is an article about them and their partner. And then if that person were to separate from their partner and say if that is a bisexual man, then date a woman, we often see that mention of their sexuality dropped from coverage of their relationship. And so I just want us to think about kind of what it means that we don't think that that identity is there, or that we don't think that it's important if they're in a relationship that is quote unquote straight passing. So being in a relationship with a man, if you are a woman, does not negate your previous queer relationships. It doesn't, you know, clear the slate or wipe the board of your identity and make you heterosexual. That's not how, you know, identities work. That's not how life works. And in particular, Stephanie Beatriz is someone who has been very open in talking about that when she married a man, and that didn't change her bisexuality because people often, I would say they're not as commonly open about saying that they think it does now, but or like people used to make very commonly jokes of like, are you straight now? Or I, in my previous years when I was identifying and presenting as a woman and used the term bisexual for myself, I remember meeting a classmate a couple years after I hadn't seen them for a while, and they said to me, oh, are you still bisexual? And I was like, yeah, that's not a... It can be challenging to encounter that because of all of these ideas of like, oh, this is a phase, or oh, you're partially coming out and then you're really gay, or all of these ideas. And while people do understand their identity or use different terms for their identity or come out in a variety of ways for a variety of reasons throughout their life, and it's none of your fucking business why, there is this sort of erasure or ignoring of someone's identity. If they're, for example, a woman who's engaged to a guy who has previously dated women or non-binary folks. And I think it's interesting in a number of ways. One of which being, if someone is a woman dating a woman, why do we feel need to reference their specific sexuality? So often articles will say, you know, bisexual or queer or pansexual musician. And while I love the specificity, if it is accurate to how that person comes out, I do in some ways love the visibility, the fact that those terms will appear if someone searches up an article, say, like myself, looking for bisexual musicians or looking to see if this person, this member of a band, is somebody who's part of the community. If they are dating a man, sometimes that goes away. If someone is in a relationship that the media doesn't see as queer anymore, it goes away. And so that makes me think of, why is it so important in referencing their specific identity if we're just talking about two people who are together? So if we're talking about two women in a relationship or a woman and a non-binary person in a relationship, even though the queerness can be kind of inherently there, you know, people aren't going to look at that and think it's heterosexuality, why is it important to us to state or talk about their sexuality or make that, bring that more to the forefront in articles about their relationships in terms of celebrity coverage? And also, why do we no longer think that that's important if we're covering the same person in a relationship with a man? So it's something I think I hope will contribute to people spending some thought on how we cover different relationships and what we consider important or not, or why we sort of shine a spotlight on queerness, why we sort of mention as if it's this salacious detail, and whether that should be how we cover relationships. There's obviously a lot of problems with how any media coverage of relationships functions, not least of which because relationships can be private and messy and complex, and nobody wants to have pictures of it online. So it's very complicated to think about how that is going to appear to the outside world, if you have to think that when you're navigating a relationship and should be able to focus on that. Or it's also very complicated to see judgments passed on relationships that, you know, we don't know from the inside because it's none of our business. So I hope that generationally that people are going to grow up with a slightly more open perspective on who they are and a slightly more accepting world, in the sense, not even accepting, but just neutral, in the sense that you can be in the world and you can be someone who loves girls or who loves guys or who loves non-binary folks or who is dating without any basis in gender. And that's something that doesn't have to be contributing to how the world categorizes your music or specifically puts you under a microscope. So that's it for me for today. I hope you'll check out some of those artists. And I will be back next Monday at 2 p.m.